Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Robert Knott, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Bobby Cespedes. She is a vocalist and musician in the Afro-Cuban folkloric and popular music traditions. She's a dancer, a storyteller, a Yoruba priestess, and a teacher. And she and her band will be playing at Folk Art Market, tonight at 7 o'clock at Milner Plaza. That's an event with tickets. And then tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you, your family immigrated from Cuba in 1959. And you kept alive in your music and your work and your life, the Afro-Cuban musical and religious traditions. Were you conscious of doing cultural preservation, or was that just the way you and your family lived?
That's just the way my family and I lived. We have always been folkloric, you know, since before I was born. And so most of my family does some kind of music, for example. They're all into singing or playing an instrument or, you know, and into religious practices as well. So, I am.
So it's just part of the fabric of your life.
Yes.
Describe, because I think it's something that we don't really have here in the same way that you have in Cuba, this interweaving of musical and religious traditions, of rhythms and dances. These things, the religious traditions find their way into popular music, like salsa, and into everyday life in the way that I think religion here doesn't so much.
Oh, yes. Well, the folklore itself, it's expressed in music, I would say. You know, we use music for prayer, and we use music for partying, and we use music when we're sad, and, you know, so music is a very intricate part of our lives. And so, for example, my mother was a singer, and that meant that she got up in the morning and she started singing, and she didn't stop until she went to sleep. And when she was sad, she would do, depending on the feeling, then the subject of the song, you see. And it's just kind of grows in us. If you notice, most of the Cubans that you might know, even, they all have some kind of, at least the dancing part, you know. I wouldn't say that all Cubans know how to dance, but...
You know, it's funny. I've met Cubans who say, oh, I don't know how to dance. And then you say, well, just dance this song with me. And they could teach lessons anywhere in the world. The people who say they can't
it's
dance.
It's that rhythm that we have inside, you know. Very organized rhythm. I remember mothers always making sure that their child repeated words after them, of course, as well as movements, you know, and most of the time in tune to the clave.
In tune to the clave.
Yeah.
Clave is it's one of the essential rhythms of Afro-Cuban music, and it's also a rhythm of life.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you have your heart, and that's your clave. And so in our tradition, we say that we too are part of, you know, that God, that element, so that energy. So clave, it starts with you, but it's a rhythmic pattern, and it's a rhythmic pattern that is used in order to organize Cuban music. There are different kinds of claves, and that have, you know, later on been applied to different songs. But in general, clave is just that rhythmic pattern that draws, that keeps you going. You know, ta 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 ta, or ta 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 ta, which is the basic clave.
So, your latest disc is called Pataquin. What's the meaning of the name?
Pataquin is our stories of the Yoruba gods. The tradition of Cuba, of the black people of Cuba, and I dare say of all Cubans, are rooted in West Africa, Nigeria, the Congo, places, you know, nations that were brought against their will, you know, out of West Africa. And so, excuse me. So
they told stories, and these stories are called the Pataquin.
There you go. And these are the stories. They explain the lives of the Orishas, the way in which the Orisha manifests.
The Orisha being the deity.
The deities of the Yoruba pantheon. So the Yoruba have a pantheon of gods. Of course, we do have Olodumare, which is which is God Almighty. But we say that Olodumare, you know, spreads out to help us all within the nature. And so, like many other traditions, we give name to all the parts of nature, and we consider them part of God, obviously. And so,
so in Western terms, it's both monotheistic and polytheistic.
I guess. You got me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because Olodumare is like one almighty God, and then
yes,
these other people, they're parts of nature, and they are personified deities.
Deities. I that's very, we have to be very careful because we also have a brain and we tend to fill it up with all this stuff that all of a sudden we are God, and we don't want to do that. We want to keep things in their proper perspective. And yes, we do have the Ashe, or the goodness of God Almighty, but so does a tree, and so does earth, and so does a rock, so does the shells, and so does the water in the ocean, and the rivers, and so on. So we're not, you know, off balance ourselves with too much of, but we of course are part of that, you know, and the part that manipulates more clearly the rest of nature.
How does the Yoruba religion that you practice, how does it help people not get too, what do you call it, too egotistical, thinking that they're better and therefore out of balance?
Well, you know, that all depends on the person, you know, and the amount of insecurity that the person might or might not have. You know, I feel that everything has to keep its, you know, be kept in its proper perspective, and any egotism is not good.
Now, there are infinite numbers of these pataquin, these stories, and I know you're a storyteller. Would you like to tell us one of them?
And not necessarily off, you know, off the top of my head, but I can direct you to a very good story that I added onto my new CD, and it's called Pataquin. And Pataquin, I named it Pataquin so that people would realize that that is a story of the Orishas, and it tells of the time when competition started, you know, it always refers to times in life, you know, or in the universe. And so Pataquin talks about a phenomena that occurred, the phenomena of competition when it first came to being. You see? So it talks about Unle, a character of energy, okay, an Odu, and Omoloku, another character, and if I may be so bold, good and bad.
Right.
And so what happened, you know, how bad tried to get good, and good triumphed without too much ado, you see? And that's very beautiful story that is told there. And yeah.
And that's on the new
and
disc.
And in the tradition, that story comes in pieces. So what I did was, since I knew the story, I put it to rhythm and, you know, to melody. And we always have to attach this and that story in order to make sense. In order to make sense as a story, as we think of a story. Because in the tradition, the ordo corpus, or that main body of ideas and of beliefs that are saved within a book of sorts, you know, is really saved in the heads of most Babalawos, you know, very old Babalawos. But nevertheless, those ideas I'm lost for words here. You know, come as one, you know. They come in little pieces, and then you sort of like have to make it one. Sorry. Right? Did I make myself
clear?
Right.
Yeah. We're talking to Bobby Céspedes. It's an infinitely, we could talk for many hours about this religion, because it's infinitely interesting, and its roots are so diverse.
Absolutely.
In Africa and in Cuba. But let's talk for a moment about the music. I've been listening to your band Conjunto Céspedes for many years, and then you've gone solo, and now you have this new disc, Pataquin, and you really play music from many decades of the Cuban musical tradition. Of course, there's the Afro-Cuban drumming, which goes way back. There's the boleros of the 1950s, and cha-cha-cha, and danzón, and salsa. Mm-hmm. How do you choose the mix?
I personally feel it, basically. Let's see, that's a good question. I think I just go for it. It just kind of feels. I have a dance song there. By the way, I want to say that this CD here, Pataquin, was, I got help from Marco Diaz and Saul Sierra and Julio Perez. They were the arrangers that helped me arrange that CD. So they took my melodies and my lyrics, etc. And this, you know, helped me along to make it what came out there. And so it starts, therefore, with a thought. The word comes out in rhythm. And sometimes it comes out in rhythm of a dance song, and sometimes it comes out in rhythm of a Orisha song, you know, and things like that. So it's not quite planned until much later in the process.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Cuban music is going now? When I got interested in salsa, which was more than a decade ago, sometime in the early 90s, salsa was very much of a living tradition, and now I'm afraid that it's sort of fading away and other things are taking its place. What's your take on that?
No. First of all, salsa was it's a newer version of the song, the Cuban traditional song, which never dies.
Right.
It's there are other, you know, in the music business, you always have other idioms come in and last you for a little while, but they pass. And there is another idiom, and then they pass. But song and rumba and danzón and all of those, they just never died. People have approached them in different ways. For example, I don't only have Pataquin as a solo artist. I also have Rezos, which was the first solo artist, solo record I put out. And there I did a combination of the quote beat, you know, the hip hop beat. I got together with people who were like Scott Roberts, who was one of the top beat makers in the business. And he took my songs and applied that drum essence to it. And so it gave yet another look to the song, to my songs, because I write songs, you see. I'm a sonera, right, at heart. And so, and a rumbera. So I think from the rumba clave, and I think from, you know, the song and my people, because I learned from my elders. I did not go to school to learn what I know. I learned from my mother, my uncle, my brothers, and, you know, it was a family affair. So he took what I had, the root, you know, and he put these beats on. It's wonderful, but still, that sound, my past, and it did somewhat, because I came up with something else this time. And I don't know what comes next, you know. I'm free like that. I like to do what gets to me, you know, what makes me feel fine at the time. And of course I listen to the radio, and I have a young son, and I have, you know, grandchildren, so they keep me in the day, on, you know. And so this and what I am has been mixed again, another way to make it survive for even more years. So I don't think it matters how many other things come around.
That is very heartening to hear. We're talking to Bobby Cespedes, and once again, she and her band are going to be at Folk Art Market. Folk Art Market, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is happening this weekend, the whole weekend. I'm gonna put Claire on the air for one second to tell us the hours, because I don't have them in front of me.
Tomorrow it starts at 7:30 with the early bird ticket, and the regular ticket is at 9 o'clock. And on Sunday it's family day from 9 to 5. And you can go to www.folkartmarket.org to find out all the details.
Folkartmarket.org, thank you so much. We have artists from all over the world, and many of them were actually on the plaza last night listening to you.
That.
It was wonderful.
Was such an honor.
They
all came to enjoy. I would like to meet some of them. I'm going to walk around and see if I can see them, because they added such richness to what I was doing, so that when I sang my songs, my Orisha songs, you could see the glare. Whether they understood it or not is irrelevant. But they felt it, and that's what I liked.
There were African people there. There were people from Bolivia and Peru there. There were people from, I'm not sure which Muslim countries they were from, but you could see from the way they were dressed, and everybody was dancing.
Yeah, and they were Cubans. They were Cubans there as well. Yeah, it's wonderful, wonderful.
So, Bobby Cespedes, where are you going next musically? Do you play concerts when you're in your hometown in Oakland, California?
Yes, we mostly travel. We like to go places, you know. But yes, we do have, you know, I've played Yoshi's, Anna's, La Peña, you know, all of the local venues in the Bay Area. Next, we have we're planning to go to La Peña and perform there, and we want to go back into the studio and try to work it. And I'm only one, so if I'm in the studio, I'm not at the stage. If I'm on stage, I'm not in the studio. You see,
right.
And the same with, you know, we do everything together, so. The same with the rest of the guys.
Well, we look forward to seeing you tonight at 7 o'clock at Milner Plaza, a concert with Bobby Cespedes and her band. 7 o'clock. There are tickets available. You can look again at folkartmarket.org. And tomorrow, Bobby Cespedes will be performing And singing folklore on the International Folk Art Market stage from 1 to 2:30. And then from 3 to 4, there will be a Yoruba song workshop at the Museum of International Folk Art, which is free to market goers. Bobby, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're going to go out with some music from the new disc, Pataquín.
Aunle, el rey divino, lo envidiaba Omoloco. El famoso quiere ser que con mentiras y payasadas quiso lo que no era de él. Con la ayuda de Orumila, el gran adivinador, Unle hizo un buen embob para salvar su corona y su potestad de rey.
Y a mar adentro se fue.